Sie hören Coffee Tea Technology, den Podcast der Kapsch Business.com. Guten Tag und herzlich willkommen. Schön, dass Sie uns zuhören. Mein Name ist Sandra Bayerl, ich bin Journalistin und Ihre Moderatorin. Gemeinsam mit Jochen Borenich, dem Vorstand der Kapsch Business.com, freue ich mich, heute wieder über ein sehr spannendes Thema reden zu dürfen und auch einen sehr spannenden Gast live zugeschaltet zu haben. Wir, Jochen Borenich und ich, befinden uns direkt bei Kapsch im Vorstandsbüro hier im 12. Bezirk. Zugeschaltet haben wir Carolina Aguilar. Sie ist CEO von InBrain Neuroelectronics, einer medizinischen Firma, die Hirnfunktionsstörungen beheben will. In Europa allein gibt es 165 Millionen Menschen, die von solchen Krankheiten betroffen sind. 800 Milliarden Euro kostet die Behandlung von Hirnfunktionsstörungen wie Epilepsie oder Parkinson in Europa jedes Jahr. InBrain sagt über sich selbst: Wir sind Ärzte, Wissenschaftler, Techies und Menschenfreunde mit einer Mission. Wir bauen neuroelektronische Schnittstellen, um damit Hirnstörungen zu heilen. Wie das alles genau funktioniert, was das mit IT zu tun hat, das wollen wir heute in unserem Talk herausfinden. Carolina Aguilar, Neurowissenschaftlerin und CEO von InBrain, ist live zugeschaltet. Sie ist Spanierin, die Firma sitzt in Spanien und sie selbst ist in der Schweiz. Unsere Diskussionssprache heute wird Englisch sein. Carolina Aguilar, are you with us? Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me today.
A warm welcome from Jochen and myself. Great to have you here. Within the next 30 minutes, we would like to find out what it is exactly you and your company are doing and what the connection to IT is. We do have coffee and tea in this podcast. Jochen, what are you having today?
I will take again the tea, please. Mm-hmm.
For me today, it's going to be tea also, since I only have tea before Easter. Thank you. It's going to be herbal tea. Jochen, you met and heard Carolina Aguilar before. Why did you invite her to our podcast today?
Yeah, there was the Darwin Circle last week in Vienna, which is a conference. And I was impressed by the idea of Carolina, which is to decode brain signals into medical solutions. Sounds interesting. And the topic of the Darwin Circle was how can technology save the world? So under this umbrella, I thought it would be the perfect guest speaker for us today.
Mm-hmm. Carolina, we are not scientists. We are also not doctors, but we are very interested in your work. In very simple words, can you explain what your development is, what you're working on?
Yes. So as we said, we are decoding brain signals into medical solutions, and we do that by developing the next generation of neuroelectronic therapies. What this means is we are developing a small system that is implanted in the head with an intelligent chip that has also some intelligent graphene sensors. Graphene is a two-dimensional material that is way superior to metals, and this is how the sensors today are being done with metals like platinum and iridium. So what we do is with these special graphene sensors, we can actually get brain signals that we could not detect before, also because we can go to very low frequencies in the brain, which is where we can find also very interesting biomarkers. So we are trying to combine this intelligent advanced materials with IT, of course, so digital health and a lot of deep tech as well.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great, but I'm interested in the development stage. What's the maturity level of such a solution?
Yeah, so we are very lucky to be a spin-off of partners in the Graphene Flagship. The Graphene Flagship is a European project that put €1 billion to bring graphene to market. Since 2013 to 2023, and probably with some extensions, because the Nobel Prize for graphene was given in 2010. So it's been quite a while since graphene is around, and the development and the investments have been funneled to the to the commercialization of such material. So that's why we believe we are at the stage where we could actually combine this advanced material with modern electronics. This is what all the digital health part comes, and then bringing to a commercial stage, being, you know, a human stage. So we've done small animal trials, we have done big animal trials, and now we are going into the human phase, actually.
Mm-hmm. You just said graphene received the Nobel Prize 2010. Is it used somewhere else?
The researchers, mm-hmm. not the material itself, but the researchers that extracted the graphene.
Okay. Yes. And how small? It's very tiny, very precious. How small is it? Can you explain the material to us?
It's an atom thick. Mm-hmm. So it's the thinnest material known to man at an atom thick, and is about 200 to 300 times stronger than steel. So even such a simple material, which is just carbon, brings these phenomenal capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I assume there is a lot of money involved in your research and in your company. How is your company funded?
Yeah, so the founders, because you always have to meet the right people to do the right things, right? So the founders actually start with all this foundational research work. And then we met and we decided we had to put from our own money first to actually fund the company and also make it believable to the investors, right? You always have to, you cannot ask money without putting from your own. So the founders put some money. The institutions from which we are a spin-off put some money, and eventually we were very lucky to also attract venture capitalists and institutional partners like Sabadell Bank, which is one of, you know, important banks in Spain, and also the Catalan Institute of Finances, and also the ESA Business School. So we had the luxury of having very nice partners helping us on, let's say, the first million. And now, of course, you know, we are also raising money for our Series A, and there will be Series B and Series C. So it's a long journey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Technology instead of chemistry. Is this way of curing a brain disorder a completely new approach? Or are you building up on some technology that has been there before?
I think we all build on each other, and I think it's our responsibility to do so soon, so we don't invent the wheel, but also really look at safety, right? I'm a pharmacist myself, so chemistry have done a great job in curing us and giving us resources to be healthy. There is a point where actually chemistry cannot go or stops working, whereas where neuroelectronic therapies can really help. And yes, these neuroelectronic therapies have a history of more than 30 years, actually, mm-hmm. and or even longer. It's just that it took time for people to build from each other's work. And yes, we are also building from very important work that have been put together by many researchers, but also many powerful companies that are commercial today.
Mm-hmm. Jochen, technology is getting stronger in medicine. What does IT have to do with medicine, and where is CAPSH involved in medical projects?
Yeah, one of our focus industries is for sure the health and social care industry. Even though we are not that involved in the early stage of research, we develop a lot of smart healthcare solutions. I mean, the health sector and, for instance, hospitals are nowadays highly digitized organizations. And our task is to provide stable operations, stable in the sense of implementing digital processes and providing secure services. But also a bold vision of us is to provide solutions for the best available diagnostics and therapies for everyone. And of course, we use also machine learning and artificial intelligence for such solutions. And normally I get the question, are the computer the better doctors? Who is better at the end? And we say it's not a yes or no, it's a combination. Of course, technology can help, and artificial intelligence, for instance, to identify anomalies and compare them with thousands of similar cases. But on the other hand, we need for sure doctors who listen to the patients, who consider the whole circumstances, and at the end to have more time for human interactions than they have before. So it's a combination of technologies and doctors at the end, and that's our clear vision, our goal. To give you one example, we are in a Lighthouse project with the Medical University in Graz, where we do cancer diagnostic solutions as CAPSCH Business.com, meaning we screen liver images and therefore supporting the doctor to easily identify cancer cells. You can imagine it's like when the artificial intelligence is pointing with its finger on certain cells, and this for sure helps a doctor to have a faster and better decision basis at the end. This is one example, but we also are involved in a lot of other research projects where we support those institutions. CBMed in Styria is another example in Austria, which is a biomarker research competence center, and they have the largest biobank here in Europe, and this is a network of leading pharmaceutical, diagnostic, medical technology and IT companies, and this is where we are involved. And the idea is here to become the leading biomarker research center by 2030. And we are proud that we are part of such bold visions.
Mm-hmm. Jochen just said technology can help the doctors. Carolina, how important are computers and artificial intelligence in your work?
Yeah, Jochen, very impressive, and congratulations for all that. We see a lot of movement, and I think computers and artificial intelligence are tools that we have to go faster, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, as he said, the ideal cooperation is between the human and the artificial power, just to make sure that we don't lose the human side and we keep evolving as scientific minds, right? But always in cooperation with the machine, because again, we have seen it all with the computers, right? It's the same. Machine learning is another tool to go farther and faster. And we should use it and evolve it with time and always in cooperation with the human mind and the human real intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Further than faster is a nice saying. I would like to talk about big data. What is the role of big data in your research? And Jochen, what is the role of big data in medicine at the moment?
Yeah, well, in our case, when it's about detecting biomarkers, brain biomarkers, it is important to detect a good number of biomarkers that can be correlated with symptoms of a particular patient situation, condition, and then also with that patient's environment. And then if you do that with millions of patients, things start getting complex, but also more interesting, because then you can draw correlations, statistical analysis that puts things into perspective in different cohorts with different trends, and is where things start getting a lot of more sense and have that statistical power to actually have some meaningful real correlations that we can act upon with a medical solution, right? So it is really key, and IT, of course, is fundamental to evolve in that direction, making sense of symptoms, patients' conditions, and eventually medical mm-hmm. solutions.
Mm-hmm. Big data is key?
Big data is key, yeah, because the unpleasant truth at the moment is that more or less doctors are pushed to make decisions without having all the data available. And we see our role as CAPSCH Business.com to do the data enrichment. And the goal should be that the decisions are made 100% evident and data-based. And this is where technology can help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would like to talk about data and security. When it comes to medical projects, how do you protect your data? I assume this is an open world. You're working from Spain to Switzerland to other countries. You do a lot of collaboration work. But in which system are you embedded and how do you protect all this?
Yeah, this is very well regulated and will be even more regulated with the MDR, the medical device regulation here in Europe, but also FDA. Everybody has seen the birth of GDPR, HIPAA. I mean, those are scopes that actually regulate how data has to be first extracted, but also safe and processed, and how users have the right over that data. And there's a lot of regulations on where these servers need to be. So fortunately, there is a lot of guidance to do things right. And I think there's more important problems that we'll have to look at, like cybersecurity. There's also good guidance there, but of course, this is going to evolve quickly. And I think it's one of the professions of the future, actually, the vigilance of our data, which is going to only increase and be merged with many other more data sets all over the world. So it's a very important topic, good guidance at the moment, but in constant evolution.
Jochen, security is a big topic also with Kapsch.
That's true. It all starts with data, to generate the data. In reality, we have, especially in this healthcare industry, we have several formats. We have a lot of analog data. We have partly digital data, structured, unstructured. So the first step is to structure the and of course also to anonymize the data. It's all about anonymization, which is a complex project by itself. Second point is then to have the capabilities to process this large amount of data. I talked about images to detect cancer cells. Such an image can be 70 gigabytes. And if you now have thousands or hundreds of thousands images, you can imagine the data volume that has to be processed. Then if you have more or less the solution available, it's all about also the acceptance rate. Are the patients, the system, the doctor accepted, and does it fulfill the ethical and, as mentioned already, also, of course, the regulatory criteria? And, of course, you mentioned it, Sandra, the question of how to handle sensitive data. And here we are used to operate critical infrastructures, to also think about the point of data sovereignty and to have a special focus on the sensitivity of the data, fulfilling all the regulatory requirements, but especially in the healthcare sector, this is a crucial point, mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. I have one more question to your actual work. We have IT experts and technology on the one hand, and we have doctors and researchers on the other hand. How do they actually communicate with each other? They kind of speak different languages, the one on the technical side, the other one on the more researcher side. How does that work in real life?
This is converging more and more, right? We are all customers of digital health. The moment you have a smartphone, you are part of it, right? So probably older generation had more difficulties, but I think right now this is going quite fast and is converging at a very rapid pace, fortunately. So the only thing we need is more synergies within EPR, you know, like all this management system in hospitals, digital records. That would be a dream. But I think, these worlds are coming together, and what we need is more unity and synergies to make them talk to each other. But it's happening fast, fortunately.
How much medical knowledge do IT experts need?
We try to combine it in Kapsch Businesscom, meaning, of course, we have the technological experts and the know-how embedded in our organization, but we're more and more also recruiting people coming out of the healthcare sector. And for sure, and this, we see this in all the industries, technology is emerging with the industry business know-how. And this also helps then to accept at the end the solution to have a successful solution on the market. But again, it's a combination. and the question of involvement of all the parties and stakeholders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Development is so important in the medical business and in the IT world, but moving on, new things, new approaches are also sometimes frightening to people. Some people are afraid of new things. How do you deal with that fear, Carolina and also Jochen?
Yeah, in our case, we have to accept it. There is this famous book of the Crossing of the Chasm, where you know that there's going to be a 20% of early adopters, and then the majority, and then the laggards, right? Another, so 20, 60, 20. So we know that 20% are going to be there to adopt new technology and new things. And if we do a good job and we deliver on our promise and we help minds and bodies to recover them function, that is going to be the best testimony for the 60% adopting that technology, right? So we need to speak for everybody, but we know that's the reality. Humans are always scared to try new things, and there's always people that go first and then follow the rest. And there will be people that will never do it, and that's also fine. We have to respect it as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and we do this by pointing out the opportunities. I mean, just think of the idea that you get the best available diagnostics, therapies, and treatment regardless of your personal contribution to the social and healthcare system. I think that's a convincing point already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Carolina, how slow or how rapid is the development in your sector? Do people actually have time to adjust to new inventions, or is it so fast moving that it's hard to keep up?
Yeah, no, I think it's a medium speed, actually. It's not going that fast as consumer goods. We are far from that in MedTech, in part because regulations stop that speed, which is also good in a sense. I mean, we have to find a balance between safety and newness that is safe, right? And to prove safety sometimes takes time. So I think it's an acceptable speed. And what we have to do, again, is maybe create more synergies and more capabilities to take it probably a little bit faster, but also in a very safe way. I think there's work we can do there, especially when it comes to synergies within the regulatory areas, within companies, scientific development. But yeah, we are at a good speed. It's not that we are missing things every time we look back, like mm-hmm, in consumer okay. goods.
Mm-hmm. Jochen, how is the pace in the IT world?
I mean, coming from the traditional IT, we're used to have shorter and shorter lifespans in our technology cycles. I mean, just if you look at the IT, the half-life period in the IT is 12 months. Mm-hmm. So if I go on vacation for 1 year, I can throw away half of my knowledge. So we're used to that already. As mentioned already, now we are combining different kind of industries, the medical industry, the IT industry, and the regulations also have to be taken into account. I think we are one of the players who are able to accelerate perhaps the one or other development that's mm-hmm. happening mm-hmm. in the medical field.
Mm-hmm. How was the development in the past year? Was that slower than normally, or was Corona not... did it have any effects on your research?
We were very lucky that we actually were one of the startups actually getting funded in the middle of a pandemic, and also conducting our large animal trials in the same space. So, of course, we had to create very strong policies to keep everybody safe, and that takes more time, and alignment takes more time. But we thought this was so important that nothing could stop us. And as long as we will do it with the highest level of safety for all, it was our driver and our inspiration to get up every day despite of the dark times and push for the good things to come, right? So it's been quite decent, I will say. It's lower, definitely, but it still happened at a good pace.
Mm-hmm. And the IT business, did Corona slow it down or speed it up?
It was an acceleration for the IT business. It was like a kick down when you're in a car. And therefore, it's now all about keeping the pace and keeping the speed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Question for both of you. What is the impact of your technology on society and the world?
Well, we think it's going to be quite transformational because, first of all, we are discovering biomarkers and creating relationships within these biomarkers and the symptoms of patients that have been never done before. And then second is giving back all that intelligence to patients and the healthcare system to empower them and streamline in a way that we deliver higher value care. So the whole purpose is create that transformational impact. And it's a real mission that we all have and the reason why many more people are joining in Brain and hopefully not only in Brain, but this ecosystem of driving transformational change in Europe.
Mm-hmm. When do we actually see patients with your solution?
Well, hopefully this year we'll take some steps toward that with our first product. Stay tuned. We are working hard to make it happen.
Okay, it's going to be an exciting year. Jochen, what is your what is the impact of your technology on society?
I mean, we see a clear trend towards a data-based economy. Just have a look at the largest corporations. Out of the top 10 largest companies, 8 companies have a data-based business model. Of course, also in the healthcare sector, we see a trend towards the personalized medicine, let's call it evidence-based medicine, and therefore we can see a clear advantage that data will help us to have a better treatment at the end of the day and a better life, and therefore it is one element where technology can help us to have a better society and a better life.
Mm-hmm. Before we come to the end of this talk, I would like to ask you both, where can people who have listened to us today learn more about this topic? Any tips or books or internet links you can recommend?
Well, books, there are so many. I always said that there's fundamental books that maybe we all need to know. There is this Thinking Fast and Slow. There's another one by Amasio, which is really, really important when it comes to brain functioning. When it comes to the latest and greatest of neuroelectronics or science, you know, my reference is always PubMed, and it's as simple as putting the keywords and it's the Google of the science, right? And there you have the very latest article. So this is where I go the most, but then there are fundamental new books, for the foundation, but also for the next steps in brain functioning and connectivity.
Yeah, I always like to read the MIT Technology Review. And there was a great article called Hyper-Personalized Medicine last year. So whoever's interested in this article, just contact us.
Mm-hmm. Carolina Aguilar, thank you so much for the insights on your research today. I'm sure we will hear a lot about this in the near future. Hopefully, we will hear a lot about this. Jochen Borenig, thank you for being part of this podcast today. Sehr geehrte Hörerinnen und Hörer, ich bedanke mich herzlich bei Ihnen fürs Zuhören. Schalten Sie wieder rein in Coffee Tea Technology, den Podcast der Kapsch Business.com. Wir melden uns regelmäßig, nämlich monatlich, und freuen uns, wenn Sie wieder dabei sind. Bis dahin, alles Gute.